Once again, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful that you're each able to stay. A lot of annual meetings where they have a Saturday night service, you find yourself between like 2 o'clock and 5:30, just kind of wondering what to be doing, maybe find some people to sing together. But it's a sweet privilege that we have while we're here to be able to enter into worship service, sing together, pray together, and look into the gospel together. This was true throughout the day, but this afternoon as I was looking at the preach brethren that we have with us at this point, our men that I love and respect, I was thinking about Brother Chris, how we're all the same age, and I realized I was the oldest preacher left here. So that's why we're all the same age. you read in the Word of God, that among the disciples, among the apostles of Christ Jesus, were some natural brothers. You think about that, that opportunity that your brother in the flesh could share your commitment to following the Lord Jesus Christ, and that would be one thing that wouldn't have been a rift in their family. You know, with all the Jew and Gentile and, who's following Christ and who's not following Christ, to think of the sweet privilege it must have been for those brothers that served the Lord together. And all of us here, brothers and sisters, with this sweet privilege to worship God together. And I love and respect these ministers that we've had at the meeting, and certainly these that are younger than me. But the arrangements this afternoon for Elder Mike Mosley to come first, followed by Elder Jeb Owen. We pray for these two. The Lord has richly blessed them in the past, and we've been richly blessed. Those blessings for which we are greatly thankful were consumed in the using. But the Lord knows that. We don't have to remind him of that. He knows that. He knows when he poured out a blessing, it was for that time and that moment. He was faithful to do that when we needed that blessing in the past. And I think even each minister can look back and remember times when you really were blessed with preaching liberty far beyond your station, and you just know it was a miracle of grace. We pray for that miracle for these two brethren this afternoon, and that you would experience it, that we each would experience it as well. That there have been times in your life where the singing was sweeter, the prayer just resonated with that was in your heart, and then the preaching was either what was on your mind or just out of nowhere just landed exactly where it needed to land, where you felt like, this had to be just for me. And there's not a thing wrong with feeling that way, because I think that's the way the Lord works. And miracle of miracles, he can hit two of you at the same time with exactly what you needed, and it'd be completely different. And no preacher can do that save the preacher Christ Jesus. And you just think, how never man spake as this man spake. Well, never has a man spoken in preaching the gospel of Christ Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And that's how these men will be able to speak today. So we lift them up in our prayers. I appreciate the dedication, the effort that you've all made, our church members here to host the meeting, the sacrifices that our visitors have made to be here with us. And we live in a world where there's a lot of things competing for your Fridays and your Saturdays and even your Sundays. And I am truly thankful that you valued the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, and that you truly blessed us with your presence. So we'll go to the Lord in prayer, thankful for the blessings of this day, mindful of those who we know would have had a desire to be here, mindful for those that would have been here but had other things, and that the Lord would bless them in those things. So Elder James Mosley, if you'll lead us in a word of prayer.
Our holy, righteous, thrice holy God, we come to thy throne at this time. Lord, our hearts rejoicing in the pleasure that we've had so far in this meeting, the blessings of this day, the nearness that we have felt to thee, O Lord. We come with boldness. Lord, we are humbled by the thought that we have not exhausted this opportunity to come and approach thy throne. Lord, thou hast continued to bid us come, to kneel before thy feet, Lord, to seek thee. Lord, we know that thou hast extended thy golden scepter unto thy bride. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we come begging that your spirit continue to go with us, that would strive with us as we attempt to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, as we continue on in the service, Lord, we ask that You sanctify these two dear brothers. Lord, we ask that You sanctify us, the congregation, awaiting Thy word. Sanctify our minds and constrain our wandering minds to attend unto Thy sweet gospel that Thou hast preserved for us and Thou hast with great power delivered us time and time again. Lord, we beg that our minds be focused on Jesus Christ and that we might be separated from anything that would hinder us, and that for a little while we might go up a little higher than Thy mountain, and we might look out into the beauty of the finished work of Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us. Lord, we ask that in all things that Thy Son be glorified, forgive us in all the ways that we have failed Thee, ever turn our paths and our feet to walk after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's His sweet and precious and holy name that we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
It's always my great privilege and great joy to be here with you at Little Vine. It's one of my permanent fixtures on my calendar, and it's where one of the places I feel to be at home, and it's because you've always made me feel that way, not just because I have family that were members here, and so, and because I've always felt like the Lord's blessed this church here, and I've been blessed to be here with you. And it's one of those things that when the Lord has shown His face in a place, you should want to go back.
Amen.
It should be a place that it becomes a Bethel spot. Now, I know tomorrow, Lord, when I'll be at Bethel Church, but you know, they should all be Bethel spots. The house of God, that's where I want to be, the house of God. Brother Philip said some things in his sermon this morning that were just really touched me, and I can't just try to re-preach that in any way, but I do want to bring out one thing that he was talking about, and Lord willing, focus on something that's on my mind and then give way. Our worship service that we have, it is the house of God. It is where God dwells with us, where He makes His presence known, like the Old Testament tabernacle with the holiest of all. Where that ark was, where only one could go, and only once a year, until that the sacrifice was completed, we had no access to the holiest of all. But that high priest was to go in there, not without blood. He had to go in once a year, and not without the blood. But when he went in, God said, "That's where I will meet with you." I mean, God Himself was there. Every high priest, a man, but he got to be in the presence of God, the glory of God, the Shekinah, it says, glory of God. That's the Hebrew word for it. His real presence was there. This is the kind of presence that Moses experienced. Kind of presence of God where Moses' face shined from just the reflected glory of being in the presence of God. And there was a man all throughout history that got to experience that, but only once a year when he had the blood. But that man, that high priest, was just a picture of Jesus Christ, our high priest, who has made the way, says that we have access to the holiest of all. That's what it says in Hebrews, that having boldness, therefore, brethren, to have by the blood of Jesus Christ, to enter into the holiest. That's the presence of God. So it's not some place in the Middle East that we need to find. It's a place, though. It is a place. It's a place where God has placed His name, just like that's what Jerusalem was. It's a place where God shows His face to us, and by faith we can experience the presence of God. I don't take that, I take it for granted too often. I do. I don't recognize as much as I should what church really is.
and what it is when we are gathered together by Him. And we talked a little bit about that. I think you mentioned it yesterday. You told me, Brother Mark, that He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. So He's the one that gathers. We've come. I love that song. You mentioned it earlier. Old Hundred that says, we meet at Thy command, O Lord. It is a command. Make no mistake, this is an obligation we owe the God of heaven, our Lord. If we then call Him Lord and Master, we ought to do what He says. But what a sweet privilege it is to follow His command to come. Because His command isn't go, it's come. His command isn't distance, it's drawing near. So when we come together, recognize that we're not just gathering together. There's all sorts of things in this world that you could gather together. Common interest you may have with people that you could get together and do. Good things you could do. But there is nothing on this earth where we are gathered together in the presence of God. He's actually here when he gathers us together. He says, there am I in the midst. That's what heaven is. Brother Phillips' sermon, he mentioned that what we do here is what we'll do there. What we'll do there will be perfect with no flaws. My voice won't crack. But more than that, why would we ever grow tired? Why would we ever want to do something else? In my youth, I wondered, what is heaven going to be like? And will we really just sing forever and ever? And I like singing, so that's okay for me, but not for everybody. You know, what we will do in heaven, I think, translates to what we do right here. It's all about praise and adoration to Him who is worthy to be praised. Now, we sing praises here, and Brother Phillips' point about it being a collective effort. That's where my mind is right now. It's the collective effort of this. We sing actively. You know, almost everyone was singing. And I love that kind of singing, Brother Mark, where you sing with no, timidness and no... Yeah, what did Brother Curtis say? Open letter singing? Just open your mouth and let her fly. Just singing because I just, the love just can't be contained, right? That's very active. And everybody was involved in that. Well, you know what? This preaching, it has to be just as active. Now, speak. I'll never forget that. One person speaking unless Brother David's here, and then two people are going to speak. But you should be very active in the preaching service. First of all, you should have been active in studying your Bible before you get here. And you should be active because that, number one, just because that's the Word of God that's been given to you to know His ways, the one that loves you so. You should be well acquainted with Scripture. Then when you come, a miracle can happen. A miracle of the preacher may preach on something you just read. And that is a miracle because you didn't talk about it with me or Brother Jeb or anyone here. And you go, wow, he's preaching on exactly what I preached on or read this week. It's a miracle that cannot happen if you haven't read. Never has the preacher preached on what I didn't read this week, you know, but should have. Well, he always preached on things I should have read and didn't. But not only active before you get here, but you should be active right now. And your mind, if you've read your scriptures, will go to scriptures that the preacher didn't go to, that you think you ought to go to. Those are great things. You don't have to come up and tell me how I didn't go to those verses. I used to do that, and I try to stop that now, but... But you went to them. I love, my Uncle Jeff said this before. He'll say, well, you got it. If you got it, then the Lord gave it to you. That's good. That's active receiving of the Scripture. Now what is, we're told to feed the sheep. Told to feed the sheep. But it is not like you feed a tiny baby where you're doing all the action. You're just sticking it in their mouth, hoping it gets in there. No, we need to be grown up in servants of God. And so you need to feed at the table. You get to sit at the dining table and put your feet up under the king's table, but you need to eat. Right? So there's some activity that goes. There's also prayer. And this is the one that's on my mind, so I'm getting to it. But prayer is an active thing. Not just when Brother James was praying out loud. I mean, you should be praying. I will tell you, I haven't always done that so actively in my life. And I remember growing up in the Primitive Baptist Church, prayers that put me to sleep. I mean, there are some brethren who could pray a sermon or prayer that would put you to sleep, man. If you're tired enough, that's because I wasn't active. But you should be praying. Because do you know that you have the access to the throne of grace that Brother James had when he was out loud? Do you know that God does not have a limitation on whether or not you speak it out loud? I think it's very important we recognize that God hears our prayers. And he hears your prayers whether you say them out loud or not. He hears the prayers that come from your soul and from your mind that you can pray in your bed. You can pray at school. They can't stop you from praying at school because you can pray in your closet, Jesus says it. And that closet's not a real closet. It's in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. Because that's where Jesus is. He's in there. And he hears those prayers. We say these things. Do we mean them? Do I really believe it? Because if I do, then I will be talking to God in my prayers all the time. But I'm not. So I admit that I need to do a better job of praying to my God. Because he does hear our prayers. When the brother's praying, we should be actively praying. That is an active communal thing for the church as one. It's the unity of the Spirit that comes down from top down that we are to keep. That Brother Mark this morning talked about the brethren dwell together in unity, and that's top down. And we're told in Ephesians to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's work. Endeavoring is work. Working to be unified in prayer. Now, your prayer should start before you get here about the service. You can pray during song service while you're singing. You can pray while I'm preaching, please do, please keep praying, and you can pray while brother's praying, and we should. And I'm telling you what I haven't always done, we all can do better in our lives and do that. And I want to look at prayer a little bit more, but I want you to think about how what we do in church is what we'll do in heaven. We know we'll sing, right? That makes sense to us all. We're going to sing praises to God in heaven, but you ever think about, is there going to be any preaching in heaven? Well, I used to say, no, definitely not. It wouldn't be heaven if there's any preaching. I'll tell you what, there's aspects of preaching that we won't have in heaven. I mean, we're not going to need the rebuke. Not going to need the reprove, correction. Those things that all scripture are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for. Not going to need some of that application in heaven. But primarily preaching is the declaring of the glory of God and what he's done for his people. And we're going to do that for eternity. We will preach, declare God's glory for eternity. Everyone's going to get to do that too. So it won't be limited to just a few ministers, you know. Everyone will do it perfectly. We'll know just how glorious he is. And we'll be able to declare it perfectly. So in a sense, I think we'll preach in heaven. But we'll also pray in heaven. Now that one took a little bit of work on my part to understand this. But what is prayer at its root? It's really just talking to God. That's the word we use for talking to God. And prayer has aspects of it that won't really translate, I don't think, to the perfect glorified place of heaven. But there's aspects of it that absolutely will. I want to turn with you to Philippians chapter 4. And some of this stuff will tie in with what Brother Philip was preaching. I trust and believe. But I want to look at verse 6 with you. It's a verse about prayer that I just see more and more in it all the time. Verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Be careful for nothing." It's a verse I need a lot. And I've had to share with my children a lot. You know, Kaylee, my daughter, she's kind of a natural worrier. She just kind of worries about things. And like I taught her to read the scriptures and read about in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. I made her memorize that really early because she needed that verse. You know, the Bible has what we need. This verse I need all the time too. Be careful for nothing. It doesn't mean to be careless, like reckless, or not to take care of our responsibilities and to do the things we need to do, or to be safe on the road and things like that. Doesn't mean to be careful that not to be careful that way. It says be careful for nothing, meaning anxious and worried. It's not just I'm concerned about this. No, it's I'm worried. It's eating me up inside. I can't think of anything else but this issue that's going on. Well, you're not supposed to be careful about that, anxious about it, worried about it. So I am. Well, there's a remedy for it. There's a remedy for that carefulness, that worry, that anxiousness. Okay. The remedy, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. So here's the remedy. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's prayer, it is, I think, encapsulated by this verse. There's three things mentioned about prayer in this verse. And I usually think of prayer as asking God for something. That's supplication. That's requesting things of God. And it says to do that. It's not wrong. In fact, it is right, and God has encouraged it, invited it, even commanded it, for you to make your request known to God. God cares about you. He cares about you so much that He sent His Son. I mean, the scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, that we know the world is not talking about every single human. It's certainly in talking about nature and like trees and animals. It's talking about you, His people, that He loved before the world began. He loved you so. He so loved the world. Now that word so can be in magnitude or how much He loved you. Or it can be in what manner or the way He loved you. And it's both. It's both. He loved you so much, and in this particular way, in fact, John says, herein is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Can you understand the love God had for you? He sent His Son to die for you, to be that sacrifice for your sins. He's not going to not hear your prayers. That's double negative. He is absolutely going to hear your prayers. If we as parents of our children, as flawed as we are, hear it when our child cries out for help, God's not going to turn a deaf ear to you. Are there times I don't know He's listening? But that's my problem. I don't go to Psalm 77 a second. We'll read David having that same problem. But God hears you talking to Him and your request, let them be made known unto God. But it says to do it by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So our prayers to God have to be built to basically three things that I see in prayer that I've tried to incorporate in my prayer life. And first is that it's worship. Never forget that God is God. We are not. And that when we talk to God, we remember who He is. And that's worship. We also remember who we are. That we are lowly and we're needy and we are beggars at His throne. We recognize that. Then that's worship. You know, the word worship actually has more of a connotation of like a dog who comes up to its master. We have a dog. She will just come and lay her head on my lap and just sit there hoping I'll give her some food. It's like that's the kind of and licking at you, just the loving nature of a dog. That's kind of the connotation of worship. It's recognizing who the master is and who we are, but it's also recognizing who we are to Him. Now if we don't have that part ingrained. And we only can know that from Scripture. We can't know that from self. Because as it was said earlier today, I don't understand why God would love me. Because I know me. I know me better than anyone else on this earth knows me. And I also know that I don't even know me as much as He knows me. And yet He loves me. I know He loves me. And so how do I know that He loves me? Because I love Him. And I know Scripture tells me we love Him because He first loved us. Do you love Him? Then He loved you first. And you can know that and rest assured at that. And if He loves you, He's going to hear your request. So you got to know who He is as God and speak respectfully to God. I know He's our best friend and our husband and our elder brother. But He is primary and first and foremost, He is God. And there's a respectful tone that should be taken with God. And a respectful posture. And unlike the Pharisee who stood up and it says, and he prayed with himself. Because he sure wasn't praying with God, right? He prays with himself and he said, you know, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men. He never really wasn't even thanking God, really. He was thanking himself that he was so good. But that beggar who couldn't even lift his head up to heaven, he smote his breast, said, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's worship. That's recognizing who God is, who He is, but recognizing who He is to God. Okay? So that first aspect of prayer, of being worship, that we're always in a worshipful prayer, that one's going to translate to heaven. When we talk to God, it'll be a constant communication of worship to Him, of who He is and who we are, His redeemed people, and who we are to Him, that He's redeemed us out of every kindred, nation, tongue. That's what they say in Revelation, that they're saying, worthy art thou, the Lamb. He's worthy, but He's redeemed us. But it's also, prayer is also requests, supplications. And we're told to do that. And I've always felt some guilt in that. I've felt like I don't have the right to ask God for some things. Because He's given me so much already, I don't have the right to ask for more. But it's not about whether I deserve it. It's about His gracious promises. And we say we can meet at Thy command, O Lord, relying on Thy faithful word. Because it's His promise that is we come standing on. When we make a request known to God, we're recognizing He promised. And that's what we're relying on. His merit, not ours. But it's also with thanksgiving. Now, I've thought of prayers as being, it's either a worshipful prayer, or it's a supplication prayer, or it's a thanksgiving prayer. But this verse tells me that it should be all of them all the time. That all of our prayers should be worshipful. All of our prayers have requests, because we'll never on this earth ever not have a need for requesting things. But all of it with thanksgiving. Even in the darkest of times, when requests are heavy, when they get the majority of my prayer time, I can be thankful. Primarily that I have access to the throne of grace. In all things, in everything. We can make our request known to God with prayer and supplication, or by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to talk to God in a worshipful way, and we're going to talk to God with thanksgiving. We won't really have to make requests, but I think that prayer will transcend into heaven. Talked about sacrifices and how they were somewhat different in the Old Testament, but some of the things were the same. You know, there were sacrifices in the Old Testament that were for sin offerings and trespass offerings. But there were also some thanksgiving offerings. Okay, and what we bring into the sacrifices we bring into the New Testament church, they're these prayers with thanksgiving. We don't do the blood one anymore. So why would it be difficult to think that what we do on earth in praying and preaching and singing will be in heaven just in a more perfected way? And if we recognize what we're really doing at church, we're in the presence of God, worshiping Him and singing praises and declaring His name and talking to Him about and worship and thanksgiving in His presence, oh, then heaven's going to be so sweet. Because it means that the very best moment I've ever had on earth in His kingdom It's going to be that times infinity and forevermore. And it'll never end. That's what I look forward to. But until then, let us actively pray, recognizing He's there and He hears us. There were places I thought of going, but I'm not going to go. I'm just going to close and praying for you, Brother Jeff.
Amen.